If you are a marketing enthusiast and you wish to learn the tricks up the sleeves of seasoned marketeers, you are at the right place. I am your host, Nishant Goyal, and this is the Marketing Chakravyuh podcast, where I invite accomplished marketeers from around the world and pick on their brain, asking questions that would help you understand the mystery of marketing and grow yourself to heights. Whether you are a student, entrepreneur, or a marketer yourself, this is where you can learn the untold secrets of marketing from the people you admire and love. In this episode, we have with us Reggie Waterman, a brand consultant and director of marketing at 360 Insights, a B2B and B2B2C SaaS company based out of Canada. In this episode, we talk about what brought him into marketing and which is his primary go-to tactic for any campaign. He also talks about why it is important to fail fast, especially in marketing, his biggest learnings from 15 years of rich experience, and his views on marketing for startups. Here, he was also thrown a situation that is essentially a marketer's nightmare. I am so excited about it. We also talked about what to do if you are in a marketing role and want to grow, or if you are a student and wish to get into a really good marketing job. So let's get right into it. Welcome, Reggie. How are you doing?
I'm good, Nishant. And yourself?
I'm doing great as well. Welcome to the marketing podcast.
I'm super excited because I love marketing, man. I love it. It's, you know, marketing is creative. It's innovative. It means so many things. So I'm looking forward to this podcast. I know you got some good stuff going.
Thanks. So Reggie, shall we start with what brought you into marketing? What was your introduction to marketing and what made you say, okay, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life?
That's a good question. So it all started back in school, high school, you know, didn't really know what I wanted to really do. You're taking a whole bunch of courses and then you have to prepare for university. And when it came down to it, I was like, okay, well, what's going to really excite me? And it came down to marketing. Like, I really went through a whole list of different subjects that I could do. And I was just like, ah, man, do I really want to do English? Do I want to like really study history? Do I want to study sciences? I'm like, no, that's all boring to me. I need something that's going to really get my engines, you know, going. So marketing was that subject matter that I really want to kind of dive into, because, you know, if I think about what I first thought of marketing was like the advertising, you know, looking at the different ads that come on TV and how, you know, producers or directors came up with their various concepts and ideas. And I thought that was pretty awesome. But what I learned later on is that that's just, advertising is just a form of marketing, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of got started. So I went to university and I studied marketing, and I didn't want to be one of those people that, you know, took a particular, you know, subject. And then after school, you change your subject or you change your focus. Because I'm like, man, if I'm spending all this money, I'm going to make sure I stay within marketing. And that's exactly what I did throughout my career. And it's been really good, really interesting journey.
So which vertical of marketing or which method of marketing is your favorite or you think has most impact and can bring in most value?
That's another good question, because marketing has evolved from traditional means, right? If you look at traditional marketing as being, you know, print, TV, transit ads, radio ads, all that traditional has transformed into more digital, right? So when you look at the digital space, you're talking about the social media platforms from, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and so forth. But I would actually say that, the digital verticals are what's really driving the awareness, driving in and driving more impact and creating better connections than TV advertisements have done in the past, because now you can get extremely targeted to your specific audience that you really want to communicate to, especially on those social media platforms.
Yeah, that's true. Social media is actually booming a lot.
Yeah.
So you focus on social media marketing if you have something you want to popularize.
So for me, in particular, my current role, I work for a software company, 9 to 5, and within that company, we manage a variety of different marketing tactics. Social media is just one tactic that we manage, but another tactic or vehicle that we would leverage is, for example, like virtual events through webinars, and that's to obviously create a virtual community, demonstrate thought leadership. So that's another avenue. Another way that we do it is through e developing content through ebooks, white papers, and case studies. Those, like, for example, like a case study is truly valuable, especially when it comes to establishing credibility among prospective clients, right? And then with this particular company that I'm working with as well, is that we manage both B2B, which is business to business, as well as B2C, which is business consumers. But the thing is, there's an evolution to what B2B and B2C even means to this day with all this digital transformation that's happening. And that is what we call B2E. B2E is business to everybody. And instead of segmenting to one particular consumer group or business group, the ways that we approach our marketing strategies really and truly encompass everybody from the B2B client down to the end user, which would be the consumer.
Wow. It is the first time I'm hearing about the B2E concept. So, with your 15 years of career in marketing, what would you say are your big learnings in the field?
My big learnings. That's another good question, man. You're just ripping it with the questions today, Nishan. I like this.
Thank
So,
you.
number one, I would say is to experiment. Now, a
Okay.
lot of companies are, you ever heard of like the term like fail fast? Yeah, the reason why that people suggest to fail fast is because through failure, you could learn, right? Through and that's through experimentation. An example is, maybe you want to expand your product line, right? Maybe you want to introduce a new product outside of your bread and butter, just to kind of test the market to see if you could penetrate other marketplaces where you could actually drive incremental revenue. That's just one example. Another one would be your traditional A/B testing when it comes to email marketing campaigns. You might want to test a particular subject line, or you may want to test a particular piece of content that would resonate with a particular target group. And within that A/B testing, you could figure out, okay, did email campaign A make more sense or drive more, I would say, a higher open rate that led to a higher conversion rate versus email campaign B? So without those experiments, if you just focus on just one thing or one particular, or you just have one particular approach, you're only going to get a certain percentage or half of that story. If I do two, like if I experiment, now I'm able to test out two variables that give me a completely different story, and then I'm able to refine my approach. The second piece I would say is differentiate. So what makes you, your brand, your products or services so much different than the competition? Especially with a crowded marketplace as we have today, it's hyper competitive.
Yeah.
Everybody has like a me too product, but what makes your product stand out versus your competition? And has to be crystal clear in your value proposition and the way that you communicate with your customers or target audience.
Okay. In another case, if the product branding actually failed, right? So you tried branding it, you created a brand, it went wrong, people are hating it. Now you need to dissociate yourself from that brand image. You need to dissociate yourself from that brand image and create a new brand that people actually love. It's just like a marketing blunder that happened. And how will you get over it? What would be your approach to it?
So the question is, you know, if I created a brand that like failed, how would I go about switching gears over to a new brand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I would suggest is, you know, and brands do this all the time, not every brand is successful. Like a lot of them fail, right? After a certain period of time. But what a lot of people do is they say, yeah, let's just say I created brand X, brand X failed. Well, we're going to go and do a rebranding exercise. That's the buzzword. The rebranding exercise allows people that have experienced a brand failing to allow them to actually transition to a net new brand. I've done that with an agency where I had a failed brand. I tried going out on my own. It was a consulting agency. I also had a partner at the time too, and him and I were trying to work together on building this agency up from scratch. But the brand failed because both of us weren't aligned on the vision. So I had to go through a rebranding to come up with a new name, new color scheme, new value proposition, new guiding principles, all that jazz. So it is definitely possible, but the best way to go about it is to completely re-vector and reframe your value proposition, your branding, create a new website, right? And take all of the learnings from the failed experience and do it totally different in the rebranding phase, because you've learned a lot now that you could apply to this new brand and do it way better so that it could be successful.
Okay. So leave the old brand behind and start afresh with a new website, with a new mission, vision, statements, and just like a new brand, and leave the old one behind like it never existed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also need to dissociate the existing negative feedbacks, or that happens over time by itself?
Disassociate the negative feedback. So if I created a new brand, would I have to disassociate myself from the negative connotation that I had with the previous one? I would for sure leave the past in the past. And I would simply just move on, but take all that feedback, all the negative connotation, and now apply it to the new brand so you do not fall into that same trap, so that history doesn't repeat itself.
Okay. So as you mentioned, that things that are actually real, infotainment, for example, it's not something that goes by the books we study, that it should be perfect. And this is a mainstream thing, that it should be fun, it should be realistic. What examples have you seen in your life that to actually go against the books that we study, but are quite mainstream and well known with experienced people, but the new ones do not know?
Gary Vaynerchuk is a very good example of that. He's totally against the grain when it comes to his marketing, right? And his approach is, you know, it's okay to just showcase your failures, or it's okay to put together content that's not perfect, because people at the end of the day are going to resonate with something that's real and authentic versus something that's just inauthentic, and that's been done over and over and over again, right? So, he's not a big fan of school or having an education, right? He's all about, well, how can you execute? And he always talks about ideas, and ideas, are shit unless you can execute them effectively.
Yeah, I've heard this quite a lot of times. Ideas are dozen a dime.
Yep.
So, okay, with your experience, what would you suggest budding marketeers on how they should embark on this journey if they want to be into the field of marketing as a job or as a consultant?
Because things, well, not even things, but because, just like the marketplaces, there's so much hyper competition within the marketplace. When it comes to, managing a product, managing a service, the same thing could be said with when it comes to trying to find a job within marketing. So you have to differentiate yourself in terms of, the type of person you are. You have to elevate yourself. And the way to get exposure is by developing content. So if I'm an aspiring marketer at this point in time, and let's just say I just finished school, I would definitely be producing content on LinkedIn that is going to market myself in a manner that I'm going to get noticed and that somebody will see value in what I produce. Because if I'm producing content and my competition that is going for, let's just say we apply for the same job, and let's just say Brandon has not produced any content on his LinkedIn, but I have. I have, let's just say, 100 articles. I post twice every week, and I've created this following. Who do you think the employer is going to consider more for the job, me or Brandon?
Like, you are actually showcasing that I have it. Brandon, on the other hand, is saying that he has it, but there's no proof that he has the skill set. You, on the other hand, are proving it through your content that you have the skill set.
Exactly. Right. So we have to live and breathe what, Brandon is talking about. Well, I went to school for marketing and I have a degree, where I'm saying, well, I'm producing content and I have a degree. So I'm putting theory into practice.
Yeah. So create content and brand yourself if you are learning. And if you are already in your personal brand job, and you are given assignments, so should you go with the case studies, or should you go with the book, or should you seek guidance only? What should one do?
If you already have the job? So explain further.
All right. So if a guy luckily landed a good job, he has not done a lot of content marketing or anything, but he landed a good job. He has been provided an assignment he has to work on. Now, there are three options. Either he can look for similar case studies, something remotely relevant, or he can search for the books, or he can go and seek someone's advice upstairs. But that would be quite limited. So which path is the most optimal, or how should it be clubbed for the best results?
For sure, I would suggest doing research, right? Looking at a variety of different case studies, because I think that you can learn a lot from other people that have done it and the results that have been generated, right? That's a good methodology that I use, especially when it comes to marketing practices. You want to see what kind of best practices are being utilized today that would resonate well with a particular target audience that you're trying to penetrate. You could always look for advice from upper ranking individuals, but they may or may not have their ear to the streets, what I call it. Ear to the streets is, are they reading content on a daily basis? Are they doing the research? A lot of people, you know, they talk from experience, but someone that may have some people may have outdated experiences, right? That may not be applicable to today's marketplace.
Yeah. So continuing with the same line of questions, marketeers are spending all of their day with the marketing stuff. But if we take an entrepreneur, a quarter of their time at max will go for marketing because they have to take care of operations. They have to take care of managing people and everything, especially in startups. So how would marketing strategy differ for them than from full-time marketeers?
Marketing for startups versus other marketers and how they differ? Yeah, because to your point, if you're working for a startup organization, as you mentioned, you're going to be wearing multiple hats, right? So in terms of the strategy, it's going to be fragmented. Fragmented in the sense that as a startup, you probably have limited marketing budgets as well. So you're going to have to look at your overall marketing mix. And the marketing mix is, you know, could be a combination of things that you're going to be doing on social media, things that you might do in terms of, let's just say, events, content that you may produce, websites that you may build, email campaigns that you build. So out of all those different marketing vehicles, you're going to have to pick and choose which ones to focus on that you think that will have the biggest impact. The reason why I say that is because if you're a startup, that means your marketing team is not that big either, and you can't do it all. So there's things where you're going to have to probably outsource, like public, like PR. You may have to, you know, leverage a PR agency to issue press releases, as an example, to support any, you know, big announcements that your startup is doing, whether they're growing, any sort of acquisitions, any news about funding that, you know, the startup may have received. But you may want to just focus on, let's just say, call it social media and events, right? Yes, we're not doing a whole lot of events face-to-face right now, but we could do a lot of more webinars, and that might be able to attract a greater community versus doing another form of marketing, right? Whether it is, let's call it influential marketing. Maybe we may not want to do that and more focus on the social and focus on email marketing because that's driving a lot more activity. It's creating a lot more conversions and so forth versus, you know, a large organization. They have greater budgets. They have a lot more resources and people, which creates bandwidth. And that means they're actually able to optimize and maximize the marketing vehicles at their disposal.
Okay. With that, what path did you take to market yourself when you were looking for a job or when you were fresh out of college or even now as you are working with a consultancy firm with clients? You need to have a personal brand. That's the most important one.
Yes, absolutely. So the way that I was marketing myself to obtain a job, and that was the beauty of it, right? Because I went to school for marketing, I was able to get creative, right? I took the concept in terms of what I was taught in class and applied it to my my job hunting. So one particular example is every time I went for an interview, I would actually produce a deck or a presentation. And within that presentation, this is something that obviously the company's not asking me to do, but I'm proactively building it for them so that I could stand out. Because within that presentation, I've done my research on the company. I've done an assessment on their company, meaning I looked at their website, I've looked at news articles, and I found areas within their organization where there was opportunities or gaps that they had in their operations. And I would come up with a strategy and I would present that strategy back to that company. So that's one thing that a lot of people don't do when they're job hunting or they don't do when they're interviews. They don't take the time to actually build a presentation because they're like, oh my God, why am I going to waste so much time building this presentation? What if I don't get this job? Now it doesn't work 100% of the time, but I will tell you that it does help you build an impression and a memorable one for that interviewer or hiring manager.
Yeah, true. It will ensure them that you are skilled. That's actually great. So I guess I've taken a lot of your time already. So what would you suggest to our audience if they want to connect with you?
If they want to reach out to me, they could do it on LinkedIn. That's the best platform to get a hold of me. So it's Reggie Waterman.
Thanks, Reggie. Thanks a lot for your time and all the wisdom.
No problem, Nishant.
Thank you.
See you, man. Bye.
So that was our conversation. Hope you found it helpful. Tell us your most useful learning from this episode, and I will give you a free entry into our exclusive merchandise giveaway. Oh, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button and tell your friends how much you love this podcast. See you in the next episode. This was Marketing Chakravyuh Podcast, and I am Nishant Goel signing out.